It even sounds complicated, making information resources accessible, discoverable, and usable by the public, making open and machine-readable the new default for government information. But that's what the White House ordered in May of 2013. Now agencies are finally getting their heads around how to best meet the requirements of the open data policy. Several agencies realize what's needed is a combination of policy and action. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller is here to tell us about the plans of some agencies to meet this 18-month-old policy. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
So how are agencies taking both a policy and action approach to the requirements of this OMB memo?
Well, I think as we've talked about many times over the last 18 months, it's all about the data. In fact, we could probably go back, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago or more, that protecting the data, sharing the data, collecting the data, and of course now analyzing the data, that's where the agency, that's where industry is really heading. So when OMB laid out these 21 different requirements in the May 2013 memo, commonly known as M1313, I'm sure we all have that written, you know, on the backs of our hand as the most important memo over the last year.
A nice lucky number they use, too.
It is.
1313.
Basically, what agencies are doing is saying, okay, how can we take what those requirements are and implement them? And over the last 18 months, they've had time, and some people may say too much time, to begin to say, okay, what are those memo requirements? Let me give you a couple examples of how agencies are dealing with them. Take the Agricultural Department for a second. It's focusing on how best to get data to the public while also figuring out internal governance procedures. Now, Bobby Jones is USDA's acting chief data officer and deputy CIO for policy and planning.
We basically stood up three boards. We stood up the Open Data Council, which kind of oversees the implementation of the policy. We set up the Open Data Working Group, which yours truly chairs, and we do the day-to-day operations, if you will. Going out there, really talking to the data owners, explaining to them the importance of getting the data out to the American people and how it's going to benefit USDA. It helps us to be better stewards of the American tax dollars by providing data that's going to spark innovation, entrepreneurship, in the public.
Now, USDA has also brought in GovLab, a nonprofit, and they will help USDA create a focus group or maybe a discussion group on data usage with state, local, and federal government entities, as well as the private sector. The goal really is to figure out how best way the agency can provide data to others to help them with their current or future projects. Now, Jones says USDA will develop a data management and a separate open data policy in 2015. The data management policy will focus on standards, data cleansing approaches, ownership issues, while the open data policy will really try to address the bigger issue of what is USDA's approach to releasing this data to the public more often, more regularly. Now, Johnson and Jones and others spoke Thursday at the FCA Bethesda, Maryland chapter breakfast. The Transportation Department is a bit ahead of USDA, but like most agencies, has plenty of work to do. Dan Morgan is DOT's chief data officer, CDO, if you will. He says there's an opportunity to do more than get information faster if the agency can both ease the path to find and use the data.
I need to be able to generate a framework for action. And quality means different things to different data sets, right? If you want to be the authoritative, trusted data source, your standard of quality is higher than if you're a good information source or just another database of conference room reservation. So we need to be smart about how we do that. Quality matters differently in the statistical world, in the research world, in the mission world, and in the administrative world. They're all the same measures, but how you actually manage that quality differs based on the kind of application and how authoritative and trusted it needs to be in your agency. And so we're trying to put the framework in place to say what that is and then give people the tools to actually measure and manage quality and be able to actually see whether or not their data set is hitting those standards.
Now, Morgan says the tools are key because DOT or OMB or even the public can't expect the program folks just to release data or use information to make decisions without those software, those dashboards, really to help that data make sense. I think that is the key piece here. You can release all the data you want, but if they're not machine-readable, if it's not within APIs, if it's not, you know, in a way that people can understand it, what's the use of having all that data out there?
Of course, data has been around for a long time in agencies, as has data processing. Are there any agencies that are actually making mission-critical decisions based on data today?
I think there's a lot of good examples out there. I mean, we talk about that a lot. Let me just offer you a couple that came out at the panel discussion yesterday. The Homeland Security Department is probably furthest along when it comes to using data, specifically terrorism-related data. Donna Roy is the executive director of DHS's Information Sharing Environment. She says the DHS has four major data-centric programs, including the Homeland Security Information Network, HISN, as well as the Identity Credentialing and Access Management Program. Roy says DHS recently launched a new data effort as well.
A program called the Data Framework, and the most exciting thing we're doing at the department. So the Data Framework is the place where we will put our most highly valued data assets into an environment that unclassified level, and most importantly at the classified level, to be able to better use our data against the current counterterrorism threat facing this country today, which is evolving very, very quickly. And the Data Framework is, while new, probably one of the Secretary's highest priorities. And so we're getting a lot of focus, a lot of energy, a lot of sponsorship around the Data Framework.
Now, Roy says in many respects the Data Framework is the culmination of much of the work that she and DHS more broadly has been doing over the last 6 or 7 years. Now, DHS is moving highly valued data sets into what she calls a data lake, where you're tagging the data for access controls, you know, who can use the data and when they can use it, how they can use it, who owns the data, and a host of other metadata to say, make sure that the data is used by the right people at the right time. Now, Transportation's Morgan offers another interesting example. He says DOT started a pilot putting safety records of bus operators on the web. Now, these are back in the time, Tom, if you remember 2013, 2012, when there's a lot of crashes from tour buses.
I do remember that.
And he said, basically what we did was we took those safety records, put those on the web, made them APIs or made an API around it, and that could inform people and influence the decisions they made, which then, of course, influenced the bus operators to be more safe. He said in the end that was such a big success that the Federal Motor Safety Carrier Administration made all of its public data available through that similar web service. Now, these are just two examples. There's hundreds of others, I'm sure. But let me just put it this way. What we're seeing now is this convergence, and it's a new acronym. So, Tom, pay attention here because we're going to have a test later. CMAS, cloud, mobile, analytics, social, and security. It's a new acronym in the federal world, CMAS. I'm loving it. And as agencies continue to depend on these five new emerging, already here technologies, I think that's when you'll see the value of data is only going to increase.
I have to tell you, I like the word data lake even better because, some departments like Interior might have lake data in their data lake. I mean, who knows? And, I'm also thinking, Jason, what wonderful opportunities for apps some of these are, especially on the buses when, you're booking a bus or you want to go somewhere by bus and you can check safety with mobile means. I think that would be a great value to the public. Deathbybus.com. Now, we hear a lot of agencies hiring chief data officers. How do they relate to chief information officers? Is it the same kind of critter?
And I think that's what something that people are starting to ask, a big question that's starting to kind of go through the community here. And I'm not sure anyone really has the right answer yet. I mean, if you think about what is a CIO, Chief Information Officer, right? Focus supposed to be on information. What's a CDO, a Chief Data Officer? Well, aren't data and information basically the same, what we're talking about here? I mean, we use them as synonyms. We talk about how you got to protect the information, protect the data. But I think as more agencies name a CDO, and the Transportation Department was one of the first ones in the government, I think you're going to see CDOs at Energy, at Commerce in the next few months. And obviously, we talked about USDA. Bobby Jones is an acting CDO, which means he or someone else will be a permanent one in the near future. I think those roles are going to differentiate once you get the people in them and really start to see where they're going to look around and do. Dan Morgan describes his role around three specific tracks.
I've named them govern, engage, and enable. And govern is really that information management, eat your vegetables kind of stuff that we need to put a bigger focus on. Putting together common practices to have all of the components that are part of the Department of Transportation have products about information management that actually talk to each other. The second piece of engagement is really around not only external engagement, which the open data policy really espouses. We have a history and a real business reason for being open and transparent with the American people. And we need to appreciate that and just do better at it. So there's a lot of coaching and then really bringing people to understand how newer folks who are building interesting web-based applications are applying our data and what that means for the way we produce and release that data to the public. The last bit of enablement is really around providing some sort of safe space for our folks to try new things, get new technologies in the door, do some data science stuff, whatever it is that's really driving their need to get more out of their data, and try to aggregate the risk up at my office level so that we don't have lots of fragmented approaches inside the components so that we can do a better job of putting our data to work for ourselves.
Now, each of those tracks that he describes really could be given to a CIO, but at the same time, having someone really just focus entirely on the data does help create further value. Now, some people will say if agencies actually outsource or, if you will, insource to other federal agencies their commodity IT like email or data centers, then CIOs can actually focus on those business systems and the data. But that day, as we know, Tom, is so far off that I think that's why the CDO concept is popular right now. Now, the CDO also must lead an effort around making things like data cleansing and meeting all the requirements outlined in the OMB's policy really come to life. Jones says USDA is grappling with several of those issues.
We have a requirement every quarter to report to OMB our top five data users. That's very, very difficult to do because there's a lot of things go into determining top five. I must be honest with you, we report various agencies, organizations, industry that we know are using our data. Now, that top five, really don't have a way to gauge that yet. So I would like to work closer with industry, academia, and other organizations to come up with a mechanism for gauging data usage.
Roy says data usage is a huge metric for DHS. That's how they tell what's high value, what's not, and they look at all different pieces like who's using it, how much they're using it, when they're using it. But that's just one gauge of data value. There's hundreds of others, and I think that's where agencies are starting to struggle. What I think all these speakers on the panel yesterday highlighted was the growing understanding of their data, the value it can bring, and of this concept of a CDO and how agencies are going to hire these roles and continue to fill these roles of the CDO. So, Tom, I'll give you the crystal ball look right now. 2015, the year of the CDO.
Year of the CDO. All right. I like it. And I'd like to, you know, and Jones can come on this show anytime with a voice like that, huh?
he's got a nice baritone, right?
All right. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks for that report.
My pleasure.
We'll post this interview later this morning at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive at 7:21. And still ahead on Federal.